We'll get Mr. Soundman going. How about 244 for our final hymn tonight prior to the message? 244, let's stand. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fifth of 244. Glad we got heat in here, I'll tell you. It's going to be a cold night tonight. They're talking 4 degrees.
Might not have heat here Wednesday.
Yeah, might not have anything. All right. This is how we need to come to the Lord. Yes, indeed.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Church, please be seated tonight. Most churches would sing that hymn after the message. We sing it beforehand. Amen? Because we come to the Lord so that we might receive His Word. Glory to God. Why wait? You know, someone said, why put off till tomorrow what thou canst do today? Amen. What a great God we serve. I'll tell you, the longer I'm saved and the crazier this world gets, the more I appreciate knowing Jesus Christ. Where would we be, church, without Him? Well, praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And once again, we're coming back to our studies concerning the wife of Yahweh and the bride of Messiah. And you can be turning to Isaiah chapter 50 as we begin tonight. Isaiah chapter 50. Now, in week one of our studies concerning the wife of Yahweh and bride of Messiah, we began our look, biblical delving into the topic of the wife of Yahweh. That is the wife of the Father. And that is, of course, the elect nation Israel. The bride of Messiah, of course, is the body of Christ, the church. Amen. It is important, we saw in week one, it is very important to maintain a theological distinction between the two. As Doc would always say, they're not spelt the same. And you've got to be careful of words that aren't spelt the same in the King James Bible. It's for a reason. Amen? But here in Isaiah chapter 50, we're going to begin. And we're going to come tonight to the third stage. We covered the first two stages in the development of the wife of Yahweh, the elect nation. Tonight we come to the third stage. We'll cover three more stages, by the way, tonight. We're looking first at the wife of Yahweh, beloved. That is the elect nation, Israel, prior to our examination of the bride of Messiah, which is, of course, the elect bride, the church. We saw in part one the first two stages in the development of the wife of Yahweh. First, we saw the marriage contract. The book of Deuteronomy, remember, is the marriage contract between Israel and Yahweh. It's called a marital covenant. And all of the prophets viewed the book of Deuteronomy in that light. Secondly, in the second stage of its development, we saw the great adultery. That's found in Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah chapter 31, Ezekiel 16, Hosea 2, etc. The great adultery that Israel was unfaithful to her husband, God the Father Yahweh, and committed spiritual adultery by going into idolatry. Idolatry is spiritual adultery, okay? Thirdly, tonight, we come to the third stage, and that is, we have the marriage contract. And then, of course, we have the great adultery. And thirdly, we have the separation. The separation. Now, because of Israel's great adultery, in the days of Isaiah, a separation took place between Yahweh and his elect nation Israel. Isaiah chapter 50. Look with me in Isaiah 50 at verse number 1. Remain seated. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities have ye for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Now, notice here in verse number 1 that God is speaking through Isaiah's pen to the elect nation Israel, and he asked a question. This is not a divorcement taking place in verse 1. It's a separation between a husband and his wife. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And hold your place in Isaiah. And go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And follow me closely tonight. And we'll have you out of here by midnight. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Why are you laughing? 24. And look with me at verse number 1. Watch what the Mosaic Code said concerning a husband and wife. When a man had taken a wife and married her, like Yahweh did Israel, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. He says, if a man's wife is unfaithful to him, he has the right under the Mosaic law to divorce her. Now back to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? He's saying to the children of Israel, I haven't divorced your mom, you children of Israel. I haven't written a bill of divorcement. I haven't sent you away. Where is it? Because they thought that God had just given up on them. No, he hadn't. God never gives up on us. Now, this is not a divorcement, but a separation. Listen carefully. According to Mosaic law, if a husband wished to divorce his wife, he had to write her out a decree called a bill of divorce. Then he would have to hand deliver the bill into her hand. Then the divorce was finalized and he would kick her out of the house. But go back to Isaiah chapter 50. Look at verse 1. Notice the question. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Beloved, he's saying that there was none. I haven't divorced you. He's saying I still love you. I still want you to be faithful to me. But because of the unfaithfulness of Israel, God had to make a separation from her. He had to withhold the promised blessings of Deuteronomy. Those promised blessings hinged on what? Begins with an O.
Obedience, right? If they were obedient and faithful, he would bless them abundantly. But if they were disobedient and unfaithful, he'd have to withhold his blessings. Didn't mean he doesn't love them. Same thing for a Christian. Are you listening? Same thing for a Christian. If we're obedient and faithful, God is in a position to bless us. If we're disobedient and unfaithful, he can't bless us. I mean, that's not rocket science. That's pretty simple to understand, right? Therefore, many in Israel, listen, many in Israel had accused God of divorcing them as his wife. But he didn't. He had to separate from her because of her unfaithfulness, and this separation lasted for 100 years. Okay? The separation lasted for 100 years. In other words, God waited for an entire century for her to repent before he brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies to destroy Jerusalem and carry Israel captive into Babylon. Okay? 100-year separation, he waited. That's the third stage, the separation. The fourth stage in the development of the wife of Yahweh is the actual divorce. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 3. We'll move right along tonight. We've got three stages to cover. In Jeremiah chapter number 3. Now, even after 100 years of separation, during which time the blessings of Deuteronomy were withheld, Israel still failed to return to God, her husband. And because of this refusal, God finally had to issue a literal, actual bill of divorcement. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3. I want to show you this bill of divorcement. Look with me in verse number 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah. This is Jeremiah 3, verse 6. The king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. What's that mean? That's idolatry. They would go up on the hills thinking they could be closer to their gods, small g. And they would erect these statues and these idols and these altars under every green tree to their idol gods, and they would worship them. That was spiritual adultery. 7. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, went and played the harlot also. Now, Israel is the 10 northern tribes. Judah is the 2 southern tribes. You got the northern kingdom, southern kingdom. All 12 tribes make up all Israel. So he says, Judah even had the temple in Jerusalem, yet they fell into idolatry as well. Now, here we see, in verses 6, 7, and 8, God declares the national guilt of adultery and issues the actual decree of divorcement. Notice that. In verse number 8, I gave her a bill of divorcement. And that occurred when he sent Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the temple and to bring them into captivity in Babylon. Then, in verse number 9, look at verse number 9, same chapter. And it came to pass, through the lightness of her whoredom, that she, Judah, defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. That's what they'd make their graven images out of. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Notice the word feignedly in verse number 10. God hates that. That's hypocritically. That's falsely. That's pretending, pretentiously. Okay? That's when someone says, oh, I love God, I love God. No, they're living like the devil all week. And they come to church and praise God. It doesn't work that way. God sees what we do. Now, the Holy Land was greatly polluted, beloved, because of their adultery. Verse number 10 states, in verse number 9, the land became defiled. Do you know, I want to make a statement, church. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. This nation, America, what was founded, we are a quote-unquote Christian nation, founded by Christians, born-again Christians, right? We all know that. But this land is defiled tonight. This land is defiled with the blood of 57 million unborn babies. This land is defiled with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Women marrying women and men marrying men. This land is defiled with witchcraft and sorcery and cults and the occult. All kinds of wickedness. And this land is defiled. You know what a land that's defiled needs? It needs a cleansing. And if that land will not cleanse itself, God will do it. He knows how to do it. Judgment's coming, folks. But the Holy Land, Israel, was greatly polluted by their idolatry. Yahweh was forced, therefore, to write her a bill of divorcement. Now, listen carefully. The book of Hosea is God's bill of divorcement to the 10 tribes, the northern tribes called Israel. The book of Jeremiah is his bill of divorcement to the 2 southern tribes known as Judah. Okay? Well, now we come to the fifth stage. The fifth stage of the development of the wife of Yahweh is the punishment. Remember, we had the marriage contract. That's the book of Deuteronomy. Then we had the adultery. Then we had the separation. Fourth stage, we had the divorcement. Fifth stage is our final stage we'll cover tonight. It is the punishment. How many of you knows when you belong to God and you sin against Him, you will be punished? If you're not, let me make a statement. If you can sin and there's no chastisement, you're not saved. You're not a child of God. And I wonder, I know people tonight that are out there who claim to be Christian. And I seriously scratched my head. I asked my wife, honey, is that guy really saved? Could a real Christian continue in that, not repent, and not be chastised? I believe the answer is no. God is going to spank you back to Him if you disobey, child of God. Christianity is not a game. I tell people this all the time. We're not playing church. Amen? And He punished them. This is the fifth stage of punishment. We find the punishment in Ezekiel. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 16. Oh, this punishment was severe, folks. You know that sin will bring punishment? And sometimes it's severe. I don't know about you. I've had my hide tanned enough times by the Lord. I've been spanked enough. I don't like it. You know, I don't like pain. You like pain? Not me. I'd rather have the blessings of God. I'd rather obey and be blessed than disobey and be hurt. Because He knows how to hurt you. Look at here. In Ezekiel chapter 16, think with me, church. In the book of Deuteronomy, the marriage contract clearly stated that if Israel became unfaithful as Yahweh's wife, it would become necessary for Him to punish her. Remember that? The blessings and of promise of blessings and promises of punishment. We find it all through the book of Deuteronomy. So, following the actual bill of divorcement, there comes a long period of punishment for Israel. Beloved, let me make a statement. It's still going on today. 2,600 years later, the punishment of Israel is still going on today. Why? Why would He, after 26 centuries, they're still being punished? They're the most persecuted nation on earth. You know that. Why?
They're not obedient.
That's right, Victor. Brother Victor said it. They're not obedient in receiving God's Son. And until they do, they'll be punished. But the worst punishment is yet to come in the tribulation period. But here comes a long period of punishment for Israel because of her adultery, that's idolatry. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Look with me at verse 35. 35. He writes, and remember, this is God speaking. Wherefore, O harlot, oh man, the Lord doesn't pull any punches. He tells it like it is. He says, you're like a harlot. You're like you're like a promiscuous woman. O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith who? The Lord God. Because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered, through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thine abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Did you see what God said in verse 36? They shed their own children's blood for their idol gods. You know the devil demands blood sacrifice? You know why these witches, they have this witchcraft and sorcery, the Satanists, they love to do human sacrifice. and they love to use a baby. I know. It's disgusting. They're satanic to the core. Why? Because their God demands blood. Our God gave his blood for us. Big difference. But here in chapter 16, verse 35 and 6, God explains the cause for her punishment. The cause was the child sacrifice and the worship of idols on the high hills and green trees. And then notice in verse 37. Verse 37, behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against thee. He's going to surround her with enemies. And will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness, and I will judge thee. As women that break wedlock, you got to catch the wording here, and shed blood are judged, murderers. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. God says, I'm going to shed your blood. And I will give also thee into their hand. And they shall throw down thine eminent place. And that's the temple. And shall break down thy high places. That's the altars to their demon gods on the high hills. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes. And shall take thy fair jewels. They're going to rob them blind. And leave thee naked and bare. They won't leave them with anything left. And they shall also bring thee up a company against thee. That's the Babylonians. They shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their sword. You know what the punishment for adultery was? For an adulterous wife in the Old Testament? Stoning with stones. God says they're going to stone you. And they shall burn thine houses with fire. This happened in BC 606 when Nebuchadnezzar came with his armies. This is what he did. Burn thine houses with fire, execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women, and I will cause thee, Israel, to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. Now, verse 41 makes a statement. God says the only way I can stop you from this sin of idolatry is by destroying you, by destroying your land and having you taken away captive into Babylon. And that's what God did. Why would God go to such drastic measures to stop them when they wouldn't stop on their own? I'll tell you why. It's because that was his wife. That was his elect nation. And God said, I will do anything it takes to get you back. Do you realize the worst is yet to come for what it will take to get them back? And that's going to be played out during the tribulation period. He will get them back. But after a severe price is paid, like 12 million Jews being slaughtered by Antichrist. Now, Yahweh uses the very nations in verses 37 through 41 whose gods Israel worshipped to destroy her. That's Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. Then look at verse 42. In verse 42, same chapter. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet. And will be no more angry. Why? What has stopped? What has ceased? Their adultery, their idolatry. He sent them into captivity. And now they're in bondage. They're in slavery in Babylon. So he says, now I'm going to rest. You're not bothering me anymore. You're going to stay there till I say. 70 years was her punishment. Indeed, the wrath of God will finally be spent on Israel. But when? When? In its fullness. Look at verse 43. This is powerful stuff, beloved. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. God says, I am going to cause your adultery to cease by sending you into captivity. Look at verse 58. Same chapter, 58. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Time out, church. What oath and what covenant is God speaking of here? He says, you've broken an oath you took to be mine. You know what you do when you walk down the aisle, guys and gals? You take an oath before God that you take her to be your lawfully wedded wife, till death do us part, in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, amen? In riches and in poor, when we're on the poor side. But hey, you made that vow. You took that that oath before God. Israel did that in the book of Deuteronomy. They said, we will be your wife. We will obey. We will worship the true and living God of Israel. Therefore, it was necessary for God to punish her because she broke her wedding vows of marriage. Again, her punishment is described. Go with me to Hosea, the little minor prophet Hosea, which is quite a major book. You'll find it just after the book of Daniel and just prior to Joel. Hosea, look at chapter number 2 of Hosea. Chapter number 2, look with me at verse number 6. God says, therefore, behold, I, that's God, will hedge up thy way with thorns. You know, when you're surrounded by thorns, if you move, you're going to get hurt. You go, ow, oh, ah! Don't move. You're hedged up with thorns. That's what God's going to do to her. Watch. And make a wall that she shall not find her path. She can't make a move. God's hedging her in. He is confronting her, and he is cornering her. You get backed into a corner, you got nowhere to go. Timmy.
Is this going to happen during tribulation or before?
This is actually going to happen during the tribulation period, and God is going to surround her by the armies of Antichrist so that she's got nowhere to move, nowhere to look, but up. And then Messiah will come and save her. Good question, brother. And look with me. God will block her way and trap her, put her in a position where she cannot move in any direction. Okay? On purpose. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Yeah. Verse 7 shows the result of this punishment. She's going to wake up one day and say, you know what? I had it pretty good when I was serving God. My husband was so good to me. He provided me food. He provided me shoes that waxed not old for 40 years in the desert. He gave me water out of a rock. He gave me a beautiful temple at Jerusalem, a worship, a land of my own. God was so good to me. They're going to remember. Look at that in verse 7. Thou shalt say, she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then it was better with me than now. Oh, yes. This shows the result of her punishment, an awakening taking place. Look at verse 8. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil. I multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Yeah, they made idol gods and statues and altars for Baal with it. Therefore, look at what Israel will say. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine, this is the Lord speaking, in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. This is when she went into captivity, describing her as being destitute. Do you realize how destitute Israel is going to become during the tribulation period? Wow, big time. That'll be the ultimate, like Tim said, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. Verse 10, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her solemn feasts, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she had said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. 13, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam. Remember, Israel was punished for going to Balaam, and wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, idol gods, and forgat me, saith the Lord. There's a big problem when a believer forgets God. She forgat me, he said. There, you know what, folks? If we're not careful, we'll fall into the same sin. How easy it is for a Christian, I've noticed over 25 years of ministry, how easy it is for God's people to forget where their bread is buttered. to forget where their blessings come from, to forget that it is God's hand alone that keeps us and maintains us in our walk. Verse 10 through 13 clearly describe her self-deception. She's eaten the lies of the devil here, saying, my idols, they've given me all these blessings. That's a lie of the devil, straight from the pit of hell. Next, go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 3, and we're almost done here. In Jeremiah chapter 3, we have her punishment described because of her unfaithfulness. In Jeremiah chapter 3, look at verse 11. In verse number 11, we read, "And the Lord said unto me," the prophet, "the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity." That's all he wanted them to do. Confess their guilt. That's all they had to do. "That thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord." God says, just acknowledge your guilt before me, and I will forgive you. I'll have mercy on you. Guess what? They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. God is calling Israel here in 11 through 13 to repentance. He's saying, return to me. Notice that word, return. Then in verse 14, look at it. Verse 14. "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." God says, I'm still your husband if you'll just come back to me. "And I will take you, one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, and in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they that be done any more." Now the ark of the covenant was part of the Mosaic code, the Mosaic covenant. "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart." In those days, whenever this is talking about, "the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers." Now, Yahweh here describes the blessings that he has in store for Israel when she does return to him. Okay? In verse 14 through 18, mark that. Now, listen carefully, church. To this very day, the elect nation Israel is still in the fifth stage. That is the stage of what? Begins with a P. Punishment. She's still in stage 5. But there's one more stage to go in her relationship with Yahweh. She's still under divine punishment, and this is evidenced by the continued worldwide anti-Semitism and persecution against the Jewish people to this very day. Israel is under bondage. Israel is scattered. Israel is being attacked. Jews are being killed. Anti-Semitism is at an all-time high. Why? She's still in stage 5. She's still in the stage of punishment, and she will be until the end of the tribulation period, when she does return to the Lord Yahweh, and she does cry out for him to come down and save her, and he will. Amen? He will at that time. Next week, we will see the final stage in the development of the wife of Yahweh before we begin our stages of the Bride of Messiah, and that will be an incredible coming to back together. Glory to God. Father, how we thank you that, Lord, your word is absolutely clear that Israel is the wife of Yahweh. That's the Father. The church, the bride of Christ, is the wife of Messiah. That's the body of Christ. Lord, your word is so clear on these truths. And we will see in the weeks ahead how graphically detailed and described this
relationship of man to God is clearly evidenced by Scripture. We just thank you for that tonight. And Lord, I want to thank you that you're not done with Israel. Yes, she's still in stage 5. Yes, she's under divine punishment from her God. And that is because of her unbelief in Messiah. That is because of her rejection of the Son of God. And the Bible says, he that acknowledgeth not the Son, the same hath not the Father. And Lord, one day she will acknowledge the Son of God, and she will receive him as her Messiah, and there will be a grand wedding reunion. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful. We're going to see it next week, Lord. And we thank you for our studies on Sunday nights in prophecy. And we thank you, Lord, for continuing opening up the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, we give you praise for showing us things we've never seen before. It's exciting that in these final days of this dispensation, you are opening up the Scriptures, O God. You are enlightening the eyes of our understanding. You are revealing deep things, yea, the deep things of God to us, Holy Spirit, and we love it. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight. Finish up with a hymn.
What? Not midnight yet.
Oh, not midnight, yeah. Hey, I got a few hours more to preach.
Why don't we wait till the first snowfall?
Oh, first snowball, we're going to be stuck here. You'll be stuck with me. Oh, praise the Lord, folks. Let's go to, let's see, open up to, hymn number 130. I love hymn 130. Because it's where the power lies for you and I. Let's stand, and I think we're going to sing hymn number 130, the first, the second, and the fourth. Don't we love this one? Sing it to the Lord. Power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
Hey,
there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live freely, let victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride?
Hey,
there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side.
Amen.
Wonderful power in the blood.
Yes, there is.
There is power, power, the wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb on the fourth. Would you do service for Jesus your King?
Hey,
there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be giving his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in his blood.
Yes, there is!
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a blessing. Well, let's pray. And Wednesday night, if we are able to have church, we'll be here at 7. But I kind of doubt it. With 30 inches of snow on the way, I don't know. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for a great day in the Lord today. Lord, I thank you for these precious souls that have made KJV Bible Baptist Church their home. How I thank you, Lord, that they come week after week and allow me to preach your word to them. Oh, how I love these folks, Lord. They're dear family to me. And Lord, as we head into this week, we thank you for the blessings you've bestowed this day, charging us spiritual batteries, filling us with your Holy Spirit, preparing us for the week that is ahead. And Lord, as this mega blizzard comes our way tomorrow, Lord, we pray for safety for all the families of the church. We pray you'd be watching over us by your holy angels. Keep us safe from harm or danger. And oh God, we just ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that if it's possible for us to meet and gather back again this Wednesday night, that you'd open up that door for us. And Lord, we just thank you that we're in your hands. There's no safer place to be in the universe than in the hands of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the message tonight. We thank you, Lord, that indeed we are your wife. We are your bride. And as your bride, we must be faithful. We must be obedient to our dear husband. We love you, Lord, and we desire to put a smile on your face each and every day. And then, Lord, thank you for this morning's message concerning the cults, the Heaven's Gate or Hells. And Lord, there's so many cults out there today. Thousands upon thousands, oh God. And the devil's having a field day deceiving peoples. But Lord, we thank you tonight that we are not deceived. Because you said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And thank you, Lord, that we have overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We love not our lives unto death. We love you with all of our hearts and souls. We thank you for a most wonderful day. And Lord, if you should tarry your coming, we know that you will grant us many more wonderful days in this church. Days of rejoicing. Days of worshiping the King. Days of loving one another. Days of learning more and more of the truth of your word, Lord. Days of drawing closer and closer to thee as we see the coming of the Lord drawing nigh. And Lord, we love you tonight. We pray you'd use us even this week to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. The people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks.
Anybody that needs a charger for their phone, I got